And welcome to the Johnny Storm Show. And I'm seeing if my co-host is on the air. Michael, are you there? And I don't see Michael in the switchboard. So I'll just go ahead and introduce myself. I'm Johnny Storm, as I'm awaiting my co-host, Michael Weber. And today our special guest is going to be none other than Stan Dale from StanDale.com. And he's got quite the bio, so I'll just give you a brief rundown of who Stan is and what he's done. Stan has held above top secret security clearance, worked undercover for the FBI. He is part of an exclusive black project headed by Dr. Edward Teller, specializing in the development of flying saucer technology. And he's also a public lecturer on world events, including the coming global economic collapse, developing solar radiated crisis in the Earth's climate, UFO deception and its real intent, suppression of badly needed technologies, the coming destruction of America by civil war and then by foreign invasion, and high voltage physics of cheaper energy, which I do believe Mr. Tesla also promoted. So Stan, are you with us today?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can.
Yeah. Okay, good. I wasn't sure. I called in and kind of was on hold there for a second. I wasn't sure whether we were through. But anyway, yes, I'm here. How you
All
going,
right.
Johnny?
Well, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for being on the show. Michael Weber put me in touch with you. And between you and Stephen Quayle, you guys have got a lot nailed down here.
Oh, we try to stir the water a bit.
Yes, you do. And so I was doing some research on your site. You've got a lot of great information there. I highly recommend people go to StanDale.com if you want current events and things from history and how they all kind of meld together. And today we're going to cover a little bit about the Illuminati agenda and the NWO and what's going on in our turbulent times today. So I guess I'll start out and just throw you a question there, Stan. You know, I was reading an article today in beforeitsnews.com that, you know, FEMA's all of a sudden getting ready for this nuclear incident in America, and we know they've been stockpiling food. DHS is stockpiling ammunition. Rumor has it for civil war. Can you enlighten us on this particular issues?
Well, first of all, Johnny, the thing on the nuclear war potential or nuclear strike potential has been there for some time, allegedly from the Al-Qaeda or various groups that would take us down, you know, from the Islamic extremist groups. The problem is exacerbated by the fact that we're in an election year for a president. The president is in huge disfavor, even among his Democratic supporters at the moment. So he has to do something to either raise his share values, if you wish, to the public, to raise his goodwill with the public, or he has to do something that will eliminate the need for a presidential election this year. Now, if a nuclear threat does hit us, it can be done by the enemy, or it could be a false flag event caused by Obama supporters, or he could just know that there's one on the way by the bad guys and let it through so he can create a national emergency, declare martial law, and for the time being, for the good of the public, declare the elections delayed indefinitely until the emergency is passed. This is what I see happening before November, that we have a major false flag event or an unhampered event by a real foreign power that's trying to bring us down, strike us with an EMP pulse or strike us with a nuclear detonation in one or more major cities. That's where I think we're sitting at the moment.
Okay, so in relation to Bible prophecy, where do you see us standing at this point? Because there's a lot of turmoil going on in Europe, as you well know, economic turmoil. And from what I've been reading, Germany's becoming the dominant power over there, along with, and they're pairing up with the Vatican and Italy. Do you see us? Do you see the Antichrist coming on the world stage anytime soon?
I do. Now, how soon is another question, but I'll tell you what I see happening here. As far as I can determine, and Holly and myself and others who've been studying this issue, the United States is a latter-day Babylon, which fits perfectly what it's talking about in the Revelation about Babylon, who's, you know, basically ruining the nations, making them drunk with the wine of this, you know, terrible stuff that Babylon does. Now, there are signatures in the book of Revelation that say that the horror of Babylon rides upon the nations of the world could actually be the Vatican. And
mm-hmm.
for that to be... Pardon?
Yes, I've heard that, yeah.
Now, perhaps it is the Vatican that is influencing major U.S. policy or English policy. I doubt it, but there are the two... things which we're talking about is a spiritual and a physical Babylon. Now, the spiritual Babylon may well be the Vatican, and the physical Babylon of this age may well be the United States and Great Britain. We're a land, physically, we're a land of many rivers, like the latter-day Babylon will be. If that is the case, then America will suddenly be destroyed. And the Babylon of the latter days is a great trading nation. The people of the world, the nations of the world, send their goods over there. They know that America will buy them, and you know the expensive goods and everything else. And admittedly, the United States and Great Britain, between them, buy quite a bit of very expensive goods compared to the rest of the world. What they can afford. But our economy is stronger, or has been anyway. So if America is bombed with a nuclear attack, you know, perhaps from suicide bombers carrying them into cities. If America suffers this, and at the same time something causes massive fires across the United States in a very short time, then it might be, as the Revelation says, that in 1 hour, whether it be physical hour or symbolic hour, I don't know, but very rapidly, America is burned and destroyed as a trading, consuming nation of the world. And although there will be people that will cheer this at the time it happens, very quickly, the merchants of the world, who knows how the world works, will throw ash on their head and mourn the passing of the greatest consumer nation on the surface of the earth. That's why I think that Babylon is mainly America and the American consumer. So we're seeing the situation rising rapidly where anarchy will eventually predominate in the United States. After an attack, after the economic collapse which will ensue, even the Hopi Indians that Holly and I have been guests of twice, well, three times I guess now, told us in the beginning that America will undergo massive civil turmoil and multifaceted civil wars, which will bring the nation down and allow foreign countries to invade from the Middle East. Whether you believe all their prophecies or not, there are a number of Hopi who are Christians. So between their viewpoint and the traditional Kachina-type viewpoint, somewhere in there lies the truth. And when it agrees with the book of the Revelation, then I start to listen.
Right, absolutely. And I've been reading a little bit on my own on one site called thetrumpet.com, and they're talking about the news in Europe being that they're trying to merge this European Council into one super president that would be unelected, but he would consolidate all of the European Council's power onto him, is what these...
Are you talking about the European Economic Community?
What's that?
I say, are you talking about the European Economic Community?
Right. But what they want to do is also give him all the political power. And in Great Britain or the UK is quite upset about it because they're not being included in all these talks. They're being excluded. And so the Trumpet.com is saying this is the man that we've been telling you about. This is the man that could very well be the Antichrist. What are your thoughts on that, him, Ryan?
Well, there was a mandate. I assume it's still there. I don't know exactly what the term is, but in the legal structure of the European Economic Community was an office underneath the president of that, which had the authority to declare war and raise troops and get money to make war. And this individual's position was created by this amendment or this statute number 666, believe it or not. So I'm keeping my eye on that situation. I don't know that we will see that immediately, like in the next few weeks, but there are several. There are several factors that are affecting the planet right now, you know, planet-wide, not just America, and that is the change in the climate. The sun is definitely in a very unstable state, the worst it's been in several hundred years, as far as our records can show. It's in a solar grand maximum. Now, we're already seeing temperatures here in where I am here in Colorado way ahead of the normal. Yesterday we had 106 out on the deck here. We measure with the weather instrumentation, and today it's 104. We've already had trees in our orchard producing fruit. Cherries have already produced fruit, you know, like gone blossom and produced fruit already and finished now, and normally they're later. Everything seems to be accelerated, but the temperatures are rising across the planet. So we're going to see more drought, more fires, shortages of water like drought that are suddenly relieved by massive, massive thunderstorms and hailstorms, and we're already seeing that here in the United States. And these things are all going to affect the planet, which is just one of the major curves, you know, geophysics or, you know, meteorology and the climate. It's just one of the major curves threatening the people of the Earth, which will cry out for a one-world solution to it. So it's not just made things. It's God-made things as well.
Well, I see. I think I've got our co-host here, Michael Weber, on the line. Michael, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Mike.
Now. It was a while. Hey, Stan, thank you for coming on.
No problem.
I'll let you take the floor, Michael.
I don't know what you covered. You go with it. You guys have, you're going good without me. You don't need me. I'll chime in. If you guys get boring, I'll chime in. So that'll mean you probably won't hear from me.
Okay. it's because of you that we got Mr. Stan Dale here today. And Stan, it's such a while that you worked. You worked on the secret flying saucer program. Could you enlighten us on that at all, or is this something that you can't?
No, that's fine. There are certain things about the technology itself, specifics that I don't make public, but that's for a very practical reason. I just don't want the people that would cause us grief in the United States to have access to anti-gravity. That would be that would mean something that we just couldn't protect against. Anyway. Back in 1971, I was approached in Dallas by Dr. James R. Maxfield, who's Dr. Edward Teller's assistant or co-director, if you wish, of this underground black ops project that was participated in by Norway, Russia, West Germany, Australia, Canada, New Zealand, a number of countries on the Western Bloc and some on the Eastern Bloc. And this organization was basically run by industrialists, engineers, scientists, in a very quiet manner behind the scenes and in a manner that transcended elected governments. In fact, I know for a fact the group that I was under in Australia, where I was sent, was controlled by what is called the Melbourne Club, the members of the Melbourne Club in Melbourne, Victoria. And these gentlemen were older gentlemen, knighted many of them by the Queen, and basically they told the leaders of the country what to do. I know this because I was in on one of the phone conversations to the Deputy Prime Minister and stuff where he was being told what to do at his phone at home. Now, that's the kind of group that I was sent down to by Teller to work on their Australian branch of this secret project, which was more than just developing restricted or classified technology. It was developing a solution to the planet based on the world's technological development publicly and the shortage of resources that was coming as far as what people could eat and drink on the planet to survive. The organization was the political side, but down in Australia was the Round Table Organization, which was mentioned in the Illuminati reports, and which I did later mention in my book, The Cosmic Conspiracy. My induction into the group was because somehow or another these guys found out in Dallas what I was doing at home in my laboratory after hours, and I was working on a method of making a flying saucer. Now, I did not have anti-gravity at the time, let me make this clear. What I was working on was using charged air and accelerating that air out over a saucer-shaped wing from the center up to the top and recirculating it inside through a tube in the center and back out again after recharging it. This is called a plasma drive system, where you ionize the air into a plasma and you accelerate that plasma with charged electrons. The problem with that was that it was generating the 15 million volt charges. You had to use a flame jet generator and things like that. And they did work. I was going to patent my application before I even built the thing. And I was approached by Maxfield's man at the place where I was working there in Dallas. Said, "Look, come see us. We know what you're doing and we want to tell you about something." And that's where I was introduced to the fact that although my device would work, it was old technology, and that was in 1971, that they had already perfected anti-gravity and had several types of craft running and would like to have me join them in their facilities down in Australia, which is where they eventually sent me. The technologies are numerous, some in medicine, some in physics, propulsion, energy conversion, time dilation. They're just... were a number of things that have not been announced to the public for one very good reason, and that is, in the beginning, this group that I worked for, when they started forming in the early 50s, late 40s, they were set up to try to avoid World War III and to set up a situation which would coerce the nations of the world, the peoples mainly, more than the leaders, to demand a world government to solve peace, you know, bring peace, solve war, and that kind of stuff without another war. And in the beginning, I believe their ambitions were somewhat altruistic and not dictatorial and that kind of stuff, but very rapidly their plan, which was to develop quiet technologies and eventually make a false arrival of messiahs in flying saucers. Their plan was overthrown by the real arrival of fallen ones from the ancient days with their technologies, which started in 1949, 47, but 49, 50 before there was a deal made between our group that I worked for and these alleged aliens, which I believe are nothing more than the fallen ones, the fallen angels the Bible speaks of from the ancient days. They're here gathering, and have been since then, to gather and develop technologies to fight the Messiah, the true king of this planet, when it returns. Is that enough, or you want me to continue there? Or
no, I mean, that's dead on, and I actually played last night on one of my other shows a old Bill Cooper show, which sounds to me like it's lining right up with what you're saying. And, go ahead.
Sorry, it must be a delay. I don't mean to overtalk you. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was done, so you go right ahead, sir.
Well, Bill Cooper was a friend of mine, and we talked at length on the phone, but when he was writing Behold a Pale Horse, and at that time I lived down in Perth, a suburb of in Kalamunda, and we talked at length about what he had seen on board the ship and the saucers coming up out of the sea and how everything was classified, and talked about the trouble he was having with those that didn't want him to talk about what was going on. So, yes, I applaud you playing his stuff. It's sad that he went the way he did, but, at least he doesn't have to endure what the rest of us are enduring now.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. He was before his time, and he was labeled the most dangerous broadcaster in America for a reason.
Yep.
By the Clinton administration. So... He had the facts, and that's what he always emphasized, was that he had facts, unlike some others who broadcasts that are fearmongers. And that's what I want to remind everybody that's listening today, is that Jesus Christ gave us a spirit of faith, not fear. So we're not here to fearmonger. We're here to inform you of what to look for so that you're not deceived when all this takes place. Because I just read an article today where NASA and Obama and others are getting ready to reveal some of this to the public, of, you know, the actual presence of aliens, which I believe, like you, Stan, are the fallen ones. And
yep.
So I think we're right on the precipice, but if you don't mind, I've got a caller here that we can maybe help.
His name, he's
from the Sound Doctrine Ministry Show. We'll bring up Minister Kenneth Emmanuel. Minister, how are you doing?
I am still truly blessed, Johnny. God bless you, and it's a pleasure to be here.
Amen. Glad to have you here.
Glad to have you, Ken.
Hi, Mike. What's going on, brother?
Oh, well, we're just talking with Stan Deo here. Do you have a question for Mr. Deo there, Minister?
Well, you know what, John, the question I had, Johnny just confirmed it before he brought me on, because, you know, the thing about the aliens, I just wanted to ask, you know, did you all understand or believe that these were actually the falling angels that are actually demons? But you guys answered that, so.
Great minds think alike.
Amen.
Great minds think alike, and sometimes we do too.
True.
Right. Well, you'd be surprised how many people just really do not understand, Dale, that you know, this is a great illusion that the Word of God speaks on, brother. Storm and I was discussing this last night and what have you, you know, and people are so unaware and they are so far from the things of God that they don't realize that, you know, this deception is going to fit each person in their mindset. And if that is your thing that you are willing to accept as far as them being aliens and visitors from another planet who are here to help mankind and all of this here, if that's what you are willing to accept, that's what you're going to see. And those of us that are following Christ and that the Lord actually has our eyes open and we have not been given over to that reprobate mind, we are the ones that are aware that these are the fallen ones. These are the demonic influences and what have you, who have been, and they've been manipulating and setting up their own agenda for quite some time now. And we've got to get this word out. It's good, Stan, that we have people like you that, you know, are in a position, you know, where they can, you know, tell us. I tell you, let me ask you this, Stan. You were in on the Flying Saucer Project.
Right.
And all of this is set up as far as a deception for the people, isn't it?
It is. And understand, in the beginning, the deception was being set up by men in charge of our planet. And their plans were interrupted by the presence of the fallen ones, saying, look, you know, we're from another planet and all that kind of rubbish, and we'll make a peace treaty with you, we'll give you technology if you'll let us have some of your people for testing, and also if you'll let us have underground bases with you, we'll share it and we'll help you develop your technology secretly. And in the late 70s, just after I left the group, the fallen ones overthrew all of our secret bases where we were developing this kind of stuff. And
surprise, surprise.
Well, you know what they were doing? Now, Kenneth, what they were doing was they were having us set up infrastructure here for them to make their own kind of weapons to fight the Messiah when he comes in the last great battle. And after we got this technology set up, you know, the underground manufacturing stuff to the point where they didn't need us anymore, they kicked us out. Surprise, surprise, like you said.
Okay. You know, I mean, they should have saw that coming. Once everything had to be in secret, that's a red flag.
Yep. Yep.
But it's only because these are dishonest men. Because you couldn't cheat an honest man because he wouldn't have went for the secrecy in the first place.
Well, you know, Kenneth, that's probably true. And what I found out inside the organization was back in the at the end of World War II, these guys got together from a lot of nations, and they said, look, we've seen that the United Nations and the League of Nations failed to bring the 197 nations together in a peaceful coexisting world government. So we couldn't get them to negotiate this, and Hitler proved to us that, like with the French Revolution, that he could not take over by force because the underground resistance would bring him down. So we know that by force and that by negotiation we couldn't do it. So let's go to the alternative three, and that is, let us fool the people into accepting a world government by bringing in the superior race business and superior technology that can either destroy us or step back and let us destroy ourselves, yet they offer us peace under the direction of the leader they will appoint and support with technology, and people will rush to keep from dying. Instead of, looking at their religious borders or their cultural borders, they will unify long enough to make a one-world peaceful government to see that it works, blah, blah, blah. That's what I was told. But as you say, it was by men who were doing these things in secret, and they continued to keep a lot of it secret because they didn't want the public to know that they were going to fool them. So, you know, yeah, from the beginning, it was an effort to deceive.
It was all a plan, exactly. It's a shame that, you know, it's man's arrogance that allowed him to be deceived in such a manner that he actually thought he would be able to deceive others. And now, as you say, he's been kicked out, and the deception was you were being deceived all along. And yet and still, it's the fact of the matter is that all of these beings and things that are at work are serving, Satan. And it's all coming back to, regardless of if people want to admit it or not, or whether they believe it or not, it's all coming back to standing against Christ.
You know, Kenneth, the other day I was in a survival store where you buy tents and freeze-dried food and stuff like that, and I was standing there at the counter, and this guy comes in. This man comes in to another customer, and he's got scraggly hair, and he's thin, and he's, just got normal, jeans and clothes on and stuff. But in the middle of his forehead was a tattoo of wings around the five-pointed star of Satan. And we got to talking there, and he said, oh, yeah, look, I'm a Satanist, And he's coming back soon. And I'm thinking, holy cow, I can't believe I'm standing here talking to one of these crazy lunatics, And it's a mark on his forehead already.
But he's not crazy. He's just chosen his side. The problem with us is we're straddling the fence. That's our problem. That's our problem. As Christ said, we are lukewarm. Most of the body of Christ is that way. And they have been deceived into the deception and what have you, God wants you to have this and wants you to have that. And as we were just discussing on my program before here, stuff don't mean nothing. What type of God would develop a world and a universe and beings I want you to come here, live, have a good time, and die? Come on, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, Kenneth, it's all like the Bible is saying. It's the great angelic conflict in the rebellion that Satan led. And all this is being played out here on the earth as though it were, in the modern terms, a virtual reality. It's not where the real beings live in the levels above us, but it is where the conflict between Satan and God and those who follow each side there is being fought out here. And so that's why, although we are in human bodies, we are given the option of living on ever after, you know, like everlasting life after we leave this planet here, because of us being used in this virtual courtroom to resolve the conflict without damaging the heavens above. But even the Bible says that there was war in the heavens, so being brought down here to be decided in a great conflict, and that's why so many people have had what they thought was unfair lives, and we look and say, why do children die, and this kind of stuff. The Lord knows the heart of everyone from the time, even before they're born. So those that will be his will be either raised from the dead at the time of the coming or caught off in the rapture. I think that'll happen sometime. And we'll have everlasting life from that point forward.
Yeah, don't bring that up.
Sorry.
Oh, no. We're not going to discuss theology today.
Gentlemen, I gotta say that I got some really bad news for you, and that is that we will be back with Johnny Storm Show and our wonderful guest, Mr. Stan Dale, and hopefully Minister Emanuel will stick around. But right now, it's time for those all-important commercials.
We'll be right back, folks.
And I think we're back with the Johnny Storm Show and our very special guest, Mr. Stan Dale. And we're joined by Minister Kenneth Emanuel. So
God,
I have a question.
You.
Thank you, Minister. I have a question for Stan. Do you have any insight into the base at Dulce, New Mexico, and the story, I think it was by Phil Schneider, and his story about Dulce?
You'll have to brief me on that. I do know about Dulce from other reports, but I don't know about the Schneider report. What did he say and when?
Well, Phil Schneider, what he had said was that he was involved in the Dulce Wars and that he had some scars to show that he'd been there and done that. And if I'm not mistaken, I think it not too long after he came out with his story and told the story of the battle between the supposed aliens and their human workers at the Dulce facility, that I think he was run off the road when he was on a motorcycle and killed or something like that. But
do you remember approximately when he came, what year he came out with that report?
Oh, boy. I think it was like over 10 years ago, I'm guessing. I'm not too sure. It was a while ago.
The battle started in the late 70s. And if he came out anywhere between, say, like 1980s to 90s, that would fit with what I was told by those that were still in the group.
Really? Yeah, so there was that big battle there?
Oh, there were big battles everywhere. We had a base under the South Pole, so you could only get to it by submarine. I left the organization before the fights actually got really bad. In 1974, I think it was, I was at lunch with Sir John Williams, who was my control agent there in Melbourne. We were at the Melbourne Club having lunch. And he and Sir Henry were talking across the table over me and talking about something, someone, or some group moving in on them. And, Sir John said to Sir Henry, he said, Henry, they're moving in on us. And at the time, I didn't realize that it was the alleged alien group that were moving in on our bases. But I did ask, in my ignorance, I said, sir, do you mean by they, are you talking about the European Economic Community? Because I was, thinking they were talking about economic. And they both looked at me like I'd passed gas at the table and changed the subject to something like, Henry, going to the property for some fishing this weekend? That was the end of the discussion. Well, later I did find out that that's what they were talking about. And while we're on that point, the little gray critters and the tall gray critters that are in most of the reports of people being abducted are, in my opinion, biological, like androids or biological robots that are doing the bidding of Satan for a very particular purpose. They are causing grief and pain to the population of the entire world, not just the United States. And so when Satan comes posing as a messenger, angel of light, he's going to say, to fulfill prophecy in his words, I will get rid of these nasty demonic creatures that have been bothering you. I'll get rid of them and we'll save you from them. And sure enough, they'll disappear and we will be saved. And everybody will be very happy that the UFO question has been answered and that the bad guys have been dealt with.
Yeah, right.
Right. You know what I'm saying? This is the lie. This is the lie.
Yeah, that will only transpire for how long is it? 60 months? The word of God say?
Whatever. It's
yeah.
Less than 7 years.
But you know, Stan, what is so amazing? How we can have these prophecies that say these things that were written over 2,000 years ago, and we see them happening, and yet we still deny it and don't want to believe it. That's just utterly amazing to me.
Oh, I know. It there's none so blind as those who will not see.
yeah, willingly blind.
You know, I last year, about the whole January, I think it was. Actually 2010 now. First part 2010, I got this strangest urge to research the very difficult phrase or verse in the book of Daniel. You know, about the statue that Nebuchadnezzar dreamed about and the feet of iron and toes, and they wouldn't mix with the seed of man, this kind of stuff.
Right.
Theologians and translators have wrestled with that particular verse for a long time and been much more qualified than me, but I kept getting an urge, you know, just right in the middle of the day, I'd suddenly feel I've got to go look at that and translate it the way that I learned how to translate the Hebrew, slowly but very accurately. So I went in, it took me 3 months in my spare time, to retranslate just 8 verses from the book of Daniel. Just 8, and there's more, but just 8 of them I've had time to do. And
do you have that that you can bless us with? I would like to take a look at it.
Look, I do. It's in the last chapter I added, or last appendix I added in my book, The Cosmic Conspiracy. It's called the 2010 edition, the final edition. I put that in the last, and I put in there what I retranslated. I put in there the Hebrew bit by bit, not just word by word, but part of word by part of word, and why it said what it did. You know, it was coded. It was coded in Daniel, but it's very easy to translate once you see that there was Arabic and Chaldean Aramaic and Hebrew and even 4 Sumerian words mixed into this. Remember, Daniel was a very learned man, and he was in a very rich district in Chaldea there, of Babylon.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
These words were sealed up by God himself. Okay. So, I must tell you, it's not being humble, it's being real. I was afraid to write about this until I had gone over it and over it and prayed about it because I did not want to mislead anyone, and I realized that I'm just one of many people that have found pieces of Daniel.
I know that
only
song.
These 8 verses. Okay. Well, now, in there, I actually put the Hebrew letters, and I put the little vowels down there and everything and the pronunciation to the point of probably making some people think, oh, this is too academic. But I do summarize it in English and show how it talks about Satan. And it talks about the fallen ones trying to mix with us genetically and it not working, and how the Antichrist of this age will be supported by Satan, who will give him technologies in return for peoples and lands. And I suspect that the 10 nations of the world, which are in the Club of Rome model on page 200 of my book, that the 10 nations, some of them will be given over to the quote-unquote aliens or to Satan and his people, and the rest will be given to the Antichrist to rule as he wants to, from what this says. And there were things like in Daniel 2:41 and through 43 that were telling about mankind being viewed as potter's clay or the clay of dread and shards of earthenware and of like fodder that you would consume almost. which reminded me of something that I put that in the book too, from Enoch, the book of Enoch, chapter 7, verse 1 through 5, where it talks about the giants, and that the giants turned against the humans and devoured mankind in that day. It's like a hungry lion, you know, pacing back and forth across the earth, you know, to devour. That's Satan at this time. And all these things are there. And I've translated it in English bit by bit and then summarized it so people can see that Satan views us as weak, fragile clay, priceless, but weak and fragile, and he will destroy us, crush us, like with a rod of iron. And then it goes on to say how that he will be in a like a secret place, and that the Antichrist will worship a god of forces, not, you know, peace or love or anything else, but forces. And in Matthew, Jesus says, look, if they tell you that the Messiah is here in the desert or in this secret place, don't go. But that's what they're going to do.
Right.
You know, I even had a dream vision about this 2 or 3 years before that, showing people that were allegedly Christians but were not educated, driving by the carloads and truckloads down this dark road at night into a desert meeting place that was like a big, super big barn. The lights were coming out, but you couldn't see what was going on in it. But they were going there to meet the Messiah, and it was wrong. I'm not just trying to harp my book, but that's the only place I have this written out in this manner is in the last part of the Cosmic Conspiracy.
Oh, okay. And the name of the book is, Stan?
Just the Cosmic Conspiracy. I'm telling about the angelic conflict, the Cosmic Conspiracy. Go to StanDaniel.com.
Mike, make sure you post that in the chat room for everyone and me as well, so I can make sure I pick that book up.
Well,
StanDaniel.com. Yeah.
And I just want to tell Ken I'm not in the chat room. I'm not at a computer.
Okay.
So there is Johnny
got
it.
Johnny
can do it.
Johnny took care of it. Johnny took care of it.
As long
thanks,
as
Johnny.
Explorer doesn't crash again.
All right. Well, now, what were you saying, Stan? I'm sorry.
What was I saying? I was going to say something else. It's important. Oh, something about.
Help him, Holy Ghost.
Oh, Lord, I'm sorry, it's gone.
You had a vision. You had a vision 2-3 years ago, and
yeah,
you were
well,
talking
about
that barn.
Yeah, and certainly there was something about the Daniel vision.
Yeah, you were going somewhere.
Oh,
well, then
in
Matthew 24, Christ said as in the days of Noah shall it be. When the Son of Man comes again.
They'll be given in marriages. They'll be partying and eating and celebrating, and all of a sudden, redemption draws nigh.
We're talking about the book of Enoch, which I know it's in the Geneva Bible. I don't know what other versions it's actually included in, but you were talking about the giants roaming the earth and devouring mankind.
Yeah, it's in the 7th chapter of the book of Enoch, verses 1 through 5. I'm just trying to, while we're talking, find where I put my copy of the Cosmic Conspiracy. I can read you the summary in English. Where is it? Are you there still?
Yeah.
Still there, guys?
Yep.
We're here.
Yep. We still
okay,
here.
Well, I'll find it in a minute and I'll tell you, but I've got so much junk stacked around here in my office, you wouldn't believe it. One of these days we're going to organize. Oh, there it is. There it is. I found it. How about that? Found junk.
Praise God. Praise God.
Organized junk. Organized junk.
Organized junk, yeah. Okay, let's see here. I'm just reading through here. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. Okay. Okay, here's how I expanded the first four verses of Daniel 2, or 41 through 44. And whereas you saw the feet and toes, part of fearful, fragile clay, referring to mankind, and part of clay smashing iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the clay smashing iron. For as much as you saw the clay smashing iron mixed together by negotiation with the thin, fragile clay of Tanah, Now, the clay of Tanah is humans. There was a district in the on the eastern coast of the Mediterranean which took clay from is Nabataean clay, and they took it and made very fine, thin, fragile pottery with decorations on it. And I had to look that up for a while to find out where these Nabataean fine wares were made, to find out why you call it the clay of Tanah, but that was a phrase that Daniel used from the time. Now, the word for clay, they used three different words. In four verses, clay is used, the word clay is three different words, meaning different facets of the clay. Daniel 2:42 goes on, and this is the expanded version I've made here, and as the toes of the feet were part of clay smashing iron and part of broken shards of clay vessels, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. I think it's talking about the kingdom of the earth, the Messiah's kingdom, when they talk about the kingdom. Daniel 2:43 says, and whereas you saw clay smashing iron mixed together by negotiation with the thin, fragile clay of Tanah, that's humans, the clay smashing iron regions of the immortal strangers or gods from the heavens shall be part of the same world kingdom with the regions of the seed of mortal mankind. But these mortals and immortals shall not stick together, even as clay smashing iron is not mixed with the weak, fragile, fodder-like clay of Tanah, which is something to trample underfoot or to scatter or shatter. And 244 is virtually untouched. It says, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all the kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. And those four verses. And then I found a code, which I'm still working on, in Daniel 11:36, where it talks about, and the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god. And that is, in Hebrew, al, kal, al. And that's three words put together, and the words are only two letters each, and each one of them ends in lamed, or the L, the snake-like character in Hebrew, which stands for wisdom. And you know, that's the beginning of trouble when we got wisdom in the Garden of Eden, but it's al, kal, el, one, two, three, you know, like those three L's there. Anyway, that's something I'm working on. And another important thing I found in there in Daniel 11:37 is talking about the Antichrist. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard for any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. Now, maybe that's Satan, whether it's Satan or the Antichrist, but obviously a bad character. And a lot of people have been saying that because it says, nor the desire of women, that he would be like homosexual of some sort, or perverse, or whatever. And really, you look at this phrase, the way that Daniel wrote it, he's talking about God of his fathers, regard for any God, and in between that is the desire of women. Well, it's supposed to link things of equal value in that kind of a phrase. God, any God, and then desire of women, that doesn't fit. When you research desire of women, Daniel was a devout Hebrew and stuck to Hebrew tradition, and he was talking about the desire of the women of Israel to be the mother of the Son of God, and that should read, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the Son of God, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. Do you see how that reads now?
Okay.
Well, you'll find this. That is true. The desire of women was to be the mother of the Son of God, the Messiah, in the house of Israel. And that's what he's talking about, the desire of women. That's part of the coding. Anyway, I retranslate the rest of that, and let's see how if I can find the... Okay, the four verses expanded with the expanded versions of it. Daniel 11:36-39. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that which is decreed shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the son of the God of gods, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. But the God of fierce forces in his protected place shall he honor. Then we're talking about the Antichrist. And a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus he shall do in inaccessible fortresses with a hidden immortal being pretending to be a God whom he shall acknowledge. He shall increase with glory and he shall make them to rule over the defenders, the earth people, and he shall separate the weak humans by lot in the future. Now that's those four verses retranslated, and I defend that, you know, showing every step of the way, the history and whatever, that allowed me to retranslate that. So you were asking Kenneth where to get it. There it is, and it's, you know, I can't do any more than warn ahead of time. If any of us wait until this starts to happen and the alien presence is officially recognized and they're starting to come, and we say, don't believe it, it's a trick, we're going to be laughed at. But if we say it beforehand now and get it out there into the underground and say, look, this is coming, wait for the deception, be sure you don't choose the wrong side, then we have a better chance of reaching them than we do.
There you go.
Amen.
What we have to do. That's what we have to do right now, before time, because if you look at the Word of God, that's what Christ always did. I'm telling you now, so that when these things happen, you will believe, and that's what we've got to do now.
Right.
Beware the Decepticons.
While we've been talking, there's been another earthquake up in the Aleutians. It's a 5.8 and a 6.1 happened a few days ago.
Really?
Reasonably strong. And another one has occurred. Now, we've been watching this, or I have anyway, over the last several months. A lot of earthquakes along the Ring of Fire or the Arc of Fire around the Pacific. And the earthquakes have been occurring, and large ones, including, you know, last year or so, the Japanese tsunami one, all along the north and west and southern extent of the Arc of Fire around the Pacific. But noticeably absent has been about several hundred miles strip between Washington State and Oregon on the coast there. It's called the Juan de Fuca Plate offshore. Now, last year, scientists discovered an underwater volcano there and were able to predict the eruption of it using hydrophones, and they expect this volcano to erupt again between now and 2018. But what is really important is that whole area alone, that whole Juan de Fuca Plate and up in underneath Washington, Oregon in the Cascadia Range, there is a fault line that is under severe stress. It's like two pieces of rubber sheet rubbing against each other, and one of them is stuck and can't quite release yet. And the stress of that, they know that it's over 54 years overdue for a massive Richter 9-plus earthquake, and that would absolutely devastate the coast of Oregon and Washington, not to mention what's on land. Today, a couple hours ago, off the coast of Oregon, a Richter 5.2 magnitude hit, and that, of course, is in the area we're talking about, where the Juan de Fuca Plate is, and is under such pressure. So I'm saying, watch out for more quakes and volcano activity offshore in the Washington, Oregon coastline and Northern California as well, because it is overdue. It is not a guess or a vision by anybody. It is scientific. They are waiting for that to pop, and they don't know when it's going to happen. It's overdue. And everywhere else along the Ring of Fire, Arc of Fire, has been releasing energy over the last couple of years, but not this one. And so even as we talk and that Richter 5.1 hits there, we know that something is up.
Well, and I was just reading today, speaking of earthquakes, about the New Madrid fault line, that they're experiencing more quakes there as well now. And the Word of God talks about, you know, Christ talked about earthquakes in diverse places.
Yeah.
So this all kind of fits together as well.
Well, you know, the divers, that's translated into many. And believe me, this is something, not only that it was going to be happening physically, you know, from the earth, but man is causing a lot of these quakes as well.
Yep. Now, listen, if you guys will go to standeo.com, and scroll down the page to where you see a microphone next to Stan's interviews, and just down a little bit lower net where it says Stan and Steve Quayle, guests with John B. Wells and Coast to Coast. At the end of that sentence, it says show images, and you can click on that. And when you do, it will take you over to a page that I prepared on the New Madrid fault lines and rifts to show you where these earthquakes are happening and why they are so unusual and what is to come you can derive from what you see there. It's there's even a new fault line that found that goes all the way up through Maine, even from the Appalachians.
Oh, really? I didn't know what that happened.
After, yeah, it's there's just so much. But the New Madrid definitely is on our radar. Are you trying to find it? Do you see it? Are you on that page?
I'm on the page now. I'm scrolling down. Stan's interviews.
All right, go down about, oh, where it says Stan and Steve Quayle guests. It's about six or seven down on those little orange dots.
Okay.
Stan and Steve Quayle guests.
Stan and Steve Quayle guests with John B. Wells.
Okay, show images at the end of that sentence. Click on it.
Okay. All righty.
And there you go.
Now maybe,
a lot of earthquake information.
Now maybe we'll have a caller call in and play Shaking All Over.
Okay, the New Madrid fault line. Fault zone. Okay.
That's it. There's some interesting plots of earthquakes there to show you where the pattern is and where earthquakes were from 1973 to 2012. Across the whole United States. If you click on that one in the lower right hand side, you can see where the fault lines are that are going to play havoc with this country when the Lord starts to judge us. And the Wanda plate is offshore. You can see that over in the upper left off of Washington and Oregon. And that's where those earthquakes are forming a pattern. And right in the middle of that one down at the bottom kind of bent L shape is where that one, that 5.2, just occurred a while ago. And where the volcano is, the undersea volcano they discovered. So that, that area is active and under a lot of stress.
Yeah, very interesting. Your site, man.
Very.
Person could spend hours on this site, and that's got all full of information. Listeners out there, I posted it in the chat room, sandeo.com. Holy buckets, man. You got to go over
what,
there.
You know what, Stan? I'm sorry, Johnny. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Stan?
Oh, it's that time again.
Oh, it is that time.
Yep.
Yeah, it's that time.
It is that time. So we'll be right,
right
back.
Quick, Stan, right quick. I just want to say, will it be okay if I put a link on my ministry's website to yours?
Hey, no problem. If you can, put a link to that show images, which tells all about this stuff.
Oh, the whole thing.
Well, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay.
That's
all I want.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so well, we'll get these commercial breaks out of the way.
And hopefully, Stan, are you going to be able to stick around for a few more minutes?
Sure.
Okay, excellent.
Awesome.
And we'll be right back after these brief messages. And we're back with the Johnny Storm Show on this Tuesday, with our very special guest, Mr. Stan Deo. And also joining us today is Reverend Minister Kenneth Emanuel.
Amen.
I guess.
Amen. Because the word of God said, thou shalt reverence no man.
Oh, no man teacher.
That's right. That's right. It also says, call no man father. But let's not get into that either.
I understand that. Yeah.
You couldn't be farther from the truth. Anyway,
dear, did you have to?
He did, Stan. He really did. He can't help himself.
We'll have to send that one to Maury Povich. But anyway, oh jeez.
All right.
Oh,
who's next with the question?
Listen. If you guys are still on that page, that show images page, I wanted to bring your attention to something I prepared on the flooding and earthquakes that the Hopi talk about in relation to the United States. If you're on the show images page, you'll see right in the middle the USA and Hopi mesas, sea level rises. I've done a lot of research on this when they told me that they would be going between their three mesas where they live, the tribes. They would be going between them by canoe before all this is over, and that they would migrate up into the Four Corners Colorado region with the remnants of who survives these great civil wars in the United States and the invasion and everything. And if you click on that, there's something that's
which
one's there.
Which one, Stan?
It's called, if you're on the master show page, show images page, it'll be a picture of the United States right in the very center with blues and yellows and stuff. Click on that. Okay, now you get to the next one, and I show how the water levels rise with the whole United States with, say, 200-foot and 500-foot rises, how they would look. And the reason I do that is to show people who are living in those areas, you know, where not to be. These are sea level rises that are maximums due to solar melts, but they do not include another source of water coming on the Earth from underneath it, which is definitely what caused the great flood of Noah. And it was when the fountains of the deep were opened up and the water shell that's underneath the oceans and all the land forced superheated hot water up into the oceans. And in the Hebrew version, it tells you about how hot it got in the water. And this is hot, salty water with a specific gravity of 3.2 times that of water. And it comes up through cracks and vents in the ocean floor. And already there are over 1,100 of them off the coast of Washington, Oregon, which are called black smokers. And they're pushing superheated water about 400 degrees Fahrenheit up through these things from down underneath in the rock, way beneath the ocean floor. But this map shows you in the blue, shades of blue, where these areas would be. But on the west coast, I show where the Hopi Nation is with a red dot, and these are bright blue areas for water intrusion, how far the water would have to drop down to actually make the water go between the three mesas of the Hopi. And when you look at that, they've got to fall down 5,000 feet, nearly a mile, before they're at sea level. Now, they don't have to be at sea level, but that's how far they would have to be if it was simply on sea level. In the middle of those maps, I have the Hopi mesas showing how they would be flooded by another source, by the Colorado River being blocked up by a landslide or an uplift at the eastern end of the Grand Canyon. And I've also included below that pictures of the two areas. Those pictures there that I have are in the Grand Canyon in the Colorado River, shows the two places where they could be blocked by a landfall, an earthquake shaking that area, or a subsidence, or what, you know, the west coast falling into the ocean. A big disturbance would cause these very close rock formations to fall down and block the Colorado River, so that the rains coming and waters coming from north of there into the Rockies and all the way down into there would fill up a new inland lake right below the Hopi. And you can see there, they talk about the lake going up into Colorado, and I've shown that in the fourth picture there, the second row on the right, where the Hopi would have to travel because they're going to migrate. I've even shown the migration path they would take to safety up in Colorado in two places if that happens. Now, there are a number, and I can also show it to you in 3D if you've got red and green glasses. You know,
yep, I do. Glasses. I do.
You can click on those 3D things and look in 3D and see the structure of where these things could fail. Anyway, that, I wanted to point that out because...
I'm glad I'm in North Dakota.
Pardon?
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, okay.
No,
this is amazing.
Yeah, see, now, the Arizona could be dropped down a bit, and in between there and California could be raised up a bit. But if you look at the mountain ranges, all the way up from Mexico, right straight on up through to Montana, you know, the Rockies and the Sierra Madres, they are wrinkles formed when our tectonic plate, which the United States is on, collided with the Pacific plate, and it caused a shockwave to, you know, we put the brakes on, and our continent formed mountains, pushing them up to the heights that they are up in Colorado. We have them up over 14,000 feet. So when the stress is released, when the West Coast breaks and drops down, as you know, we think will happen, certain areas will be raised up as a shockwave in Nevada, perhaps. Other areas will drop down, like in Arizona. And you can see how lowering and raising, we can come half that distance. Instead of going a mile, we might only have to go 2,500 feet difference. But that is not exceptional in plate tectonics when you have a collision of plates like this. And on top of that, the Earth is expanding. It does this periodically. It expands its diameter. It is now at least 25% larger than it was at the beginning in the talks in Genesis. The stretch marks, if you collapse the planet down to, about one-third of what it is now, collapse it down to that, the continents, the edges of them will all touch together and form one landmass before the time of Peleg when the Earth was divided. And what caused this was the core of the planet expanding and contracting as it normally does over a long period of time, not just the Earth, but all the planets and star systems. These are all things I'm talking about in a new paper I'm writing on gravity. I just haven't finished it. Or I'd show you that.
Oh.
Anyway, that's on New Madrid and stuff you were talking about, and where the water intrusion could be all the way up to the Great Lakes.
This is,
well, it's funny
this
you mention
is,
all this because, you know, it's mind-blowing when you look at these maps. And then I've got another ministry friend of mine who's World War II vet and been in the ministry a little over 40 years. And he says when he's the Bible, you know, when he has studied Bible prophecy, he doesn't see the U.S. and the U.K. involved in it, that we're going to be essentially gone.
Yes.
And, you know, if
destroyed.
You look. Yeah, and if you look at these maps, then that's kind of proving him right, I think. What do you think? What's your thoughts on that?
Oh, I believe. I mean, looking at the maps here and other evidence we've gathered to talk with people like Rick Coombs, who's got America the Babylon on CD-ROM out there, America is going to be judged heavily for turning against Jesus. That's just the bottom line. We're kicking, mm-hmm. you know, God and Jesus out of the schools. We're kicking them out of the Constitution, out of public images. You couldn't go anymore, I don't think, except putting up pictures of Satan to be in opposition to God.
Exactly.
We're horribly under judgment. It's just starting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to be nice either.
No,
and what
not.
Do you, what are your thoughts on? See, what I've been reading in the alternative news, you know, because you won't see it on CNN or any of the other propaganda networks, but that China has essentially drawn a line in the sand when it comes to Iran. And Russia has as well, maybe not as strongly worded, but the Chinese premier made no ifs, ands, or buts about it, that Iran was the stopping point for the Western powers. And that, you know, some people feel that that will kick off World War III and that we'll have nuclear weapons being launched at us from either one or both of those nations. What are your thoughts on that, Stan?
Well, here's what the Hopi said to me, that it would be a red, a leader dressed in red coming from the east, but that it would be China, Russia, and a confederation of Arabs that would come and invade the United States. And that's after, of course, after America has fallen from within. And Obama's administration, he's not the only person, his whole administration is behind him. They're bringing our house down so quick that they couldn't have done it faster if they'd openly declared, let's destroy America. Once we fall from within, we are subject to foreign invasion, and the Hopi say it will happen, and Dimitri Dudeman said it would happen. I believe it will happen. Now, you can see the event shaping up in the Middle East, where Israel is going to have to probably strike Damascus or help Damascus destroy itself. And that happens, Russia's going to be forced to come down by treaty, Iran's going to join with them, and they're going to form a confederation that will try to destroy Israel. Try, but not succeed. And they will invade, and we know that. But I think that Ezekiel's invasion is kind of hanging on the edge, and it wouldn't happen until America is taken down because we have too much armament that could interfere with an attack on Israel, in spite of having an administration that doesn't want to do anything to help Israel. Right now,
right.
They say there have already been 10 missiles launched and dropped into Israel, just seeing here. It might have come from the Gaza Strip. Breaking news, there were 10 missiles, 10 rockets have been fired at Israel. Okay, I think it's just saying that they're coming in from the Gaza, but I'm not sure. I haven't had a chance to read it. It just popped up my screen. So Israel definitely is the key to what's about to happen. It is the time clock and the key. And, oh, by the way, I had a dream the other night, a dream vision. I don't get them very often these days, but where I was taken by a rabbi to his home and to his mother's home in particular, and led down the entryway from the doorway, down a long hallway where she had antique furniture and stuff. And part of the furniture was there was a big grandfather clock that was standing on the right side, and then there was this fine piece of woodwork on a cabinet that had drawers and doors on it. And I looked in there looking for something. He was showing me, look in here, do you see anything in there? I looked in there, and it was empty. And then he moved me to the right to where that big grandfather clock was. And there was a picture on the wall next to a painting of a woman holding a child, like, you know, Madonna and child type thing. And on the side of it was a signature of it. I couldn't quite make it out, but it was something like, you know, like I think it was like Jesus' signature or something. But anyway, it was showing that this is the time of the Messiah. But when I turned back to the clock, he said, "Now open the door of the clock," and I opened up the grandfather clock, and I noticed the pendulum started to rock back and forth. It had been quiet and not moving. So the time of the Gentiles had passed, and the time of the house of Israel was starting. And there was somewhere on the drawings on the wall, I'm just trying to remember, where were pictures of Russia and people causing grief to Israel. So the time of the Gentiles, I think, is, if it's not finished, it is very close because of that dream vision.
Wow. That's powerful, and that kind of goes along with a word I had through the Holy Spirit, because I was really praying for wisdom and discernment, because I feel that I've been called, I know I've been called, to be one of the watchmen. And we know what Ezekiel says, if you don't do your job as a watchman. So I prayed, and be careful what you pray for, because sometimes you get it. And the words I received from the Holy Spirit really chilled me. And if you permit me, Stan, I'd like to share them with you to get your view on it.
All right.
Time is so short, my people. Don't you think that I will fulfill my words that I have written? Don't you know that by my words I created the heavens and the earth? Don't you know that what was written by the prophets of the old have already come true and will continue to do so? Why do you still scoff and mock me? Why do you turn your heads when my servants come unto thee? Why do you not believe my prophets of this day and turn from your sin before it's too late? The window of time and salvation is closing. Don't you hear my call? The trumpets are sounding and this world is crumbling and will soon descend into chaos. The economies created by your money masters will fall to nothing and your money is worthless. Your silver and gold won't sustain you in the great tribulation. Your wealth will be made to mean nothing. Can you nourish your body with worldly wealth? Can you nourish your spirit with worldly wealth? No, you cannot. You cannot eat your gold, silver, and worthless paper money. You cannot sustain yourselves without drinkable water. Why are you continuing to destroy that which I have given you? Why don't you use my words and the power of prayer to sustain you and lift others up? Why have you forsaken me, your Messiah, your deliverer? Don't you know that Lucifer is out now, prowling like a lion, seeking whom he may devour? Don't you know that your governments are corrupt and rotten to the core? They kill at Satan's direction. They think they are wise, and they'll rule with the coming power of Satan and his false prophets. Yes, there is one coming that is greater than the rest you've seen. He'll rule the whole world and will deceive all that El Jehovah sends a delusion to, even the elect, if that were possible. You will burn with fire and smoke, fire brought down from the heavens and the weapons you evil people have designed. You who are so wise in your ways, what will you do when the Son of Man, the Messiah, returns? All knees shall bow and all tongues will confess that I, Yeshua, am King of kings and Lord of lords. And many shall weep and gnash their teeth when they see me coming, because they will have been convicted of their sin. Listen to my watchmen who blow the trumpet. Time is very short. I already told you you would not know the day or the hour, but your commandments are known, and it was near even at the door. Your preachers and teachers have failed you. They have tickled your ears with false doctrines of devils. They have told you to feel good, to be as gods yourselves. When and where is that I taught you this in my words? It is not there. Stop being deceived and turn your backs to those who preach and teach evil. Open up your Bibles and start listening to the comforter of the Holy Spirit, which I sent to you. Turn back now or end up in the everlasting fire. This is one of your final warnings that I give to you through my servant John. He's been set aside to give you this message. Listen to me before the windows of time are closed and your fates are sealed. I, the Lord, Jehovah El, have spoken. And I was really shook up after that.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, people will suddenly realize that paper money and gold and silver are rather useless when everybody's after food and you're trying to give them silver, which they can't eat. I've long thought that there's going to come a time, even, you know, when the rich guys are, they're just going to want food. And if we have the judgments, when we have the judgments of the Revelation happen, the sun is going to get very hot. The moon is going to turn blood red at the same time. And the heat of the sun will destroy a third of the fish in the sea, a third, the grass and trees. this is something like a supermassive coronal mass ejection, or worse, the sun itself may have so many sunspots all at once that the surface of it will be covered in sunspots, and it will be, as he says, as looking through a sackcloth of hair at the sun, because there will be pinpoints of light surrounded by darkness, which is the sunspots. And even though they are dark, they are emitting radiation that will burn. People want to hide in caves. And believe it or not, even the Hopi told us they were building underground mud igloos, which they call kivas, to get ready for the several weeks of intense sunlight that will burn the surface of the earth. So I believe these things are coming. And I just found my vision of 3 April. If you want, I'll read it, because it's probably got more details in it than what I just told you about that the time of the Gentiles. You want me to read that?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, 3rd of April. As the vision began, it was nighttime, and I was being shown an underground reservoir of water by a man I could not see directly. The reservoir was like a very large concrete pool with an open top. The water was lit from submerged lights. The vision then shifted over to some sort of a hospital or ward where I was sleeping in a bed. It was still at night. The same man, with yet another who was a rabbi, came to me in the ward and quietly awoke me. They signaled me to be quiet and to come with them into the night. We went down a couple of levels of stairs and then out into the night somewhere in Israel. As we started to leave the building, we crossed a dry riverbed with smooth river rocks. At this point, I realized I was still barefoot, so I raced back to the ward and got my slippers. After I rejoined the two men, they took me to the home of the rabbi's mother. She was not present in the long hallway where they then left me to see what things were in the hallway. The hallway was narrow, and on my left side, as I looked to the right toward the door, were two pieces of fine wooden furniture. The wood was reddish and polished, perhaps cedar. The first piece was some sort of a silverware and dish storage thing. I reached underneath into the back of the drawer on the right side, which had large silver serving utensils in it. I was searching for a secret compartment, but all I found were the ends of the utensils. So I stood up and looked to the right of this piece to see a finely polished grandfather clock that was taller than me. As I approached it, I saw the pendulum was stopped. When I opened the front of the clock to look in the bottom for a compartment, the pendulum began to swing again. I smelled the scent of old wood, possibly cedar as well. Time had started again for something, perhaps for the house of Israel to occupy Jerusalem, perhaps for the seven-year tribulation, perhaps for the time of the Gentiles to trot upon the streets of Jerusalem was over, and Daniel's 70th week was beginning. Next, I looked to the wall on the right of the clock to see a small dinner plate-sized piece of fired clay onto which a map was painted. To the upper right was Russia, looking small and fragmented. Some distance away, toward the lower left corner of the map, was Israel. In Hebrew, I saw the words pronounced Erev Shabbat, the eve of Sabbath. Then I saw the year 1967 to my left in the air with the numbers 45 after that, and I realized this meant 2012, in other words, 45 years after the Seven-Day War of 67. Looking past the map on the wall, I saw a painting leaning against it. It was about 2 feet by 3 feet and on a thin material. The painting was old, very old. It was on some sort of hard material like a ceramic. It was a painting of a small boy and his mother who had him on her lap. The young boy's eyes were open and seemed somehow to follow me as I began to look closely at the painting. He was dressed in a Western-style suit. As I puzzled over the texture of the material on which the painting was made, an archaeologist approached with a drill to core out a piece of the upper left-hand corner of the painting. As he was about to place his drill there, I saw faint traces of the painter's signature right where he was about to drill. So I directed him to move away from his signature region to drill his core sample. As I watched, he tried several diameters of core belts to cut through the material, but nothing even scratched it, so finally he gave up. While he was doing this, I looked closely at his signature, but could only make out a portion of the name which read Abba, or Father, in Hebrew. Then I somehow realized the boy in the painting had painted the painting himself. The last part of the signature was in a faded rust color similar to dried blood, but I could not make it out, and then I awoke. How's that?
Wow. Wow. So, you were saying...
I have bad dreams. I have interesting dreams.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow, incredible. Well, and in Acts 2:17 it says that, you know, in the end times that we would have dreams and visions and prophecies. And so that goes right along with what's happening to you and to me and to others who are willing to listen. And I urge our listeners out there today to listen very, very closely to what people like Stan Dale and Steve Quayle and others are trying to teach you. because we don't have much time left. The time of the Gentiles is over, and the Antichrist is three quarters of the way through the door, is the way I see it. And it's just a matter of time before he makes his appearance. How much time, we don't know exactly, but we do know it's close, even at the door.
Well,
so Stan,
I know we got like 3 minutes left. So, anything you want to close with, Stan?
Well, the main thing is, you know, with all the doom and gloom talk, is that we know that our Messiah, Yeshua ben Elohim, Jesus, will take care of his bride, and we are prepared. Our lamps are lit with oil. We're out there waiting. We've got everything, so we don't have to go back and learn anything. And people need to realize that they're believers, and those that aren't believers, it's a simple thing wherever you are to ask God to be on his side, for him to, his spirit to indwell you, and do that in the name of Jesus, who was our Savior, is our Savior. And that's the important thing. There's the good news. You will be provided for if you're here on the earth when this happens. If you're not, you'll be raised up into your everlasting body when the time comes. All is not lost, and I know the good Lord has certainly blessed me with miracles all through my adult life. That's too long to talk about here, but many of us have experienced this, and so we know gracefully, thankfully, by the will of God, that we've been shown that His Spirit is with us and in us and will provide for our physical and spiritual needs wherever we are, whenever we are. So don't be dismayed. That's kind of my last message there.
All right, and that's www.standeo.com, and please, folks, check out his excellent website. And Mr. Deo, thank you very much for being our guest. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
It's really a pleasure to talk with you guys of like mind. It really kind of helps to encourage us, each of us, you know.
Yes, it's fellowship, and that's what we need. Build each other up, lift each other up.
Well, we're
so thanks for me as well, Stan.
Say again?
I said thank you very much for me as well.
You bet. Thank you, guys. Good to fellowship.
All right.
God bless you,
Michael.
What? Michael? Stay tuned for Joanne Moretti and the Moretti Report coming up in a couple minutes here. Is that right?
Amen. Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, and thanks to Minister Kenneth Emanuel for joining the conversation and adding to it.
Yes,
and
we'll
hopefully we'll see everybody Thursday, same Freedomizer time, same Freedomizer channel. Be there. We'll be following the Eccentric Perspective with Blake the Eccentric next Thursday.